Thank you. Yes. So I am Joanne Moyer. I come to you from the Aspen Parkland in Treaty 6 territory in Canada. And today I will be presenting on a survey we conducted about environmental sustainability activities and attitudes within congregations of Mennonite Church Canada. So I'm just going to start with a quick introduction to Mennonites in case you don't know who we are. This part of the Christian family formed during the Protestant Reformation in Europe as one of the radical reformer groups. Mennonites, or Anabaptists as they were originally called, split off from the mainline Reformation over convictions such as adult baptism, the priesthood of all believers, pacifism, and a focus on discipleship. They experienced religious persecution from both Catholics and Protestants, and many of them migrated around parts of Europe and then to the Americas, often living in isolated farming communities. Today, there are many different Mennonite and Anabaptist groups in Canada who still share those core convictions, but express them quite differently, ranging from the plain groups like the Amish to groups that are fully integrated into broader society. Mennonite Church Canada could be characterized as the most liberal or progressive of these more integrated groups, though it still exhibits quite a bit of diversity, so it contains members who would identify across the theological and political conservative to liberal spectrum. Turning pages while holding a mic is a little tricky. Okay, so in recent years, Mennonite Church Canada has started placing more focused action on climate change and sustainability. These recent initiatives, which I will describe in a minute, build on a foundation that started at least in the 1970s when the denomination started developing resolutions on environmental issues like energy and along with some related agencies engaging in some environmental type activities. So for example, the Mennonite Central Committee opened a Native Concerns office in the mid-1970s, which worked closely with First Nations experiencing injustices from resource extraction activities, such as flooding from hydroelectricity developments in northern Manitoba. The denomination has also participated in binational environmental initiatives since the late 1980s in two different iterations that you can see there. This work ramped up in 2020 when Mennonite Church Canada formed a sustainability leadership group. And full disclosure, I am a member of the sustainability leadership group, and I also served on the Mennonite Creation Care Network Council for the entirety of its existence. So between 2021 and 2023, each of the five regional churches within Mennonite Church Canada created some kind of working group. Some focus specifically on climate and others more broadly on creation care, which you can see up there. And then in 2022, a climate action coordinator was hired. Her name is Sandy Plett, and she's an important partner in this research. Part of Sandy's role is to work with and support those regional working groups. So last year, Sandy mentioned to me that the regional working group leaders wanted to know what kinds of activities were happening across all the congregations of Mennonite Church Canada and wondered if conducting a survey could be part of my research program. I recruited a psychology colleague named Leanne, who has more expertise with quantitative surveys than I do, and we turned this into a community-engaged research project that involved three undergraduate students who ran the survey as part of their senior research project. Through Sandy, we consulted with the regional working group leaders and others within Mennonite Church Canada to develop the set of questions. We used both open and closed-ended questions to ask respondents about their attitudes and perceptions of environmental sustainability, creation care, and climate change, their activities, who was doing those activities, and the theological foundations and other resources that they drew on. The surveys were sent to every congregation through the church organizational networks, and once they were returned, the students conducted both qualitative and quantitative analysis and produced an initial report. Then Leanne and I did some initial additional analysis to pull out more nuances from the data and add more detail to the report. So we received 83 complete responses, which is about 40% of the congregations in Mennonite Church Canada. The response rates from the different regions varied, as you can see on this graph. And the respondents were mostly pastors, but also included congregants, chairpersons, administrators, deacons, and committee members. So we instructed the churches we sent them out to pick whoever in their congregation seemed most competent to fill out the survey on behalf of their community. We asked several questions, or several sets of questions, to elicit attitudes, beliefs, and impressions of environmental sustainability, climate change, and creation care. The open-ended questions asked what environmental stewardship means to their church leaders, what their leadership preaches or teaches about how environmental issues intersect with faith, and what comes to mind when they envision an environmentally sustainable church. Overwhelmingly, the responses to these questions focused on practical approaches, especially improving the sustainability of church buildings. Other responses focused on faith, so things like theological statements or talking about worship activities. And another group of responses had a more integrated approach, highlighting the interconnection of systems, the interconnections between faith and action, and listed a wide variety of sustainability action approaches. And then there was also a significant minority that focused on climate change in these questions. Closed-ended questions also used climate change as a litmus test for environmental attitudes, asking respondents to rate on a Likert scale the degree to which they agreed with the statements climate change is a result of human activities and climate change is a purely natural phenomenon. To our surprise, many participants agreed with both statements. So at first we thought maybe this didn't work as our litmus test and maybe people just didn't understand, but as we played around with the data a bit, we think maybe the likeliest explanation for this, at least among some of the respondents, is that they were asked to answer on behalf of their congregation. And so they maybe chose two contradicting statements because their congregations contain people with differing views. And this interpretation is supported by the responses to open-ended questions throughout the survey, which indicated a degree of division and contention within many communities. Stewardship and creation care were the most common terms used for talking about these issues, while environmentalism and conservation were used less frequently. So across all these responses, we can conclude that Mennonite Church Canada congregations are largely, though not uniformly, committed to some kind of environmental sustainability. And the shape of this sustainability takes varies widely, as does the degree of commitment. We asked participants to indicate how they were engaging with environmental initiatives, both by providing a set of options they could choose from, which you can see here, and by asking some open-ended questions. In both types of questions, practical greening activities were by far reported the most frequently. Green church operations were largely aimed at reducing waste through things like recycling and avoiding disposable dishes, which were the activities chosen the most often in the closed-ended list, as you can see here. Community gardens were also popular. Here is the list from the open-ended questions in order of relative frequency. In these responses, measures to make their buildings more energy efficient and take care of their grounds were the most commonly mentioned. Respondents also reported practical actions congregation members were taking at home or at the household level, on their farms, and in the broader community. And we also highlight thriftiness here, which overlaps with some of the other categories because it was mentioned frequently, and we'll come back to that idea later. Notably, every respondent reported some level of practical greening or environmental action taking place in their church community. Formation activities here refer to worship and education. So for example, creation care themes being addressed in sermons, prayers, and Sunday school. Formation activities were the second most commonly reported in the open-ended questions after practical greening, but were only reported about half as often as the practical type things. And then the other activities, so providing financial support to other environmental initiatives and advocacy, were mentioned, but not very often. We also asked who was leading these activities, and by far the most common leaders were individuals in the congregation who had passion and or expertise, but were not pastors or lay leaders. Some churches also had ad hoc groups that formed around specific projects or small groups or committees like a green team, and pastors and lay leaders also played a role. We asked several questions to find out where congregations were getting information and resources from, and this was one of the really interesting results. Overwhelmingly, churches reported using resources from Mennonite organizations, especially Mennonite Church Canada, its regional churches, and their working groups. The Mennonite Central Committee and the Mennonite Creation Care Network were also mentioned, but in striking contrast, organizations beyond the Mennonite world were mentioned much less frequently. A few respondents noted connections to local advocacy and environmental groups or interfaith groups, but notably, the David Suzuki Foundation, which is one of the major environmental organizations in Canada, and 350.org were the only secular environmental organizations that were mentioned, and they were each only referenced once. Paralleling the results about who is facilitating action, some respondents reported that they rely on individuals within their congregations who are passionate about the environment, have expertise, and are bringing information back from other levels of the church, for example, as members of one of the regional working groups. So that like swings back to Mennonite Church Canada again. We asked several questions which elicited the motivations, foundations, or driving forces of environmental engagement among congregations in Mennonite Church Canada. In addition to the perception questions discussed earlier, we also asked about which scriptures and Mennonite traditions or ethics inspire their responses to environmental concerns. The data demonstrated that scripture is an important foundation for thinking about environmental issues, and that Mennonite Church Canada churches have a pretty strong understanding of scriptural groundings for creation care. Key passages that were mentioned include Genesis 1 and 2, by far the most frequently mentioned, various Psalms, Romans 8, and Colossians 1. The creation stories in Genesis outlining humans' duty and responsibility to care for the earth emerged as a central pillar. So there is a strong stewardship ethic at work in this community. Caring for the environment was also seen as a way of meeting the biblical imperative to care for neighbors and the least of these, so there is also a justice ethic. One other theological approach that emerged was this idea of interconnectedness again. This approach recognizes the integration between social and ecological systems, humans' place as creatures within those systems, and God's pervasive presence throughout all of creation, all of which point to the value of creation and that God and humans all suffer when creation suffers. In response to the question about Mennonite traditions or community ethics that inform the church's response to environmental concerns, the highest frequency of responses referred in some way to simplicity. This was expressed through words such as simple living, more with less, referencing a highly influential cookbook from the 1970s, which some of you may recognize, frugality, and thrift. Simple living is a Mennonite cultural and theological ethic that began with a belief that Christians' primary allegiance is to the kingdom of God, not to the pursuit of wealth and power. It has been expressed in many different ways among Anabaptist communities, from the Amish rejection of technology to a passion for establishing thrift stores, to church members forming accountability groups to discern how to spend their money and resources well. Simplicity and thrift were particularly strong themes among more rural congregations, but also appeared in responses coming from urban settings as well. Farming and land-related traditions and ethics and justice were also common responses, but perhaps a bit surprisingly, peace, discipleship, and community only garnered a few responses each. Throughout the open-ended questions in the survey, we were able to identify barriers and challenges that prevent congregations from taking sustainability actions, which are listed here in descending order of frequency. Financial considerations, lack of leadership, and having other priorities or commitments were virtually tied as the three most common barriers. Some respondents citing financial barriers were clearly very committed to environmental sustainability or creation care and were frustrated by their lack of ability to take action. It's also interesting to note among those citing other priorities that in some cases environmental issues were being sidelined for other progressive issues such as sexuality or Indigenous reconciliation. So this is not only a matter of left versus right political agendas. Others were also prioritizing spiritual matters or lacked sufficient consensus in their community to act. A small but passionate group of respondents reported a strong aversion to what they described as the politicization of environmental issues, especially climate change, criticizing the church for buying into disasterism and alarmism. It should be noted that while these kinds of comments only appeared in a few surveys, congregations in this group would be more likely to opt out of completing a survey like this than congregations at the other end of the spectrum. So there may be more churches who would align with this position than the survey results indicate. In the final question of the survey, we asked what kind of resources would support their church in moving toward a more environmentally sustainable future. The slide shows the results again in descending order of relative frequency. Taken as a cluster, the communication and framing, networking, practical advice, and worship resources categories indicate that there is a need and desire for teaching, capacity building, and dialogue. The framing part of the first category refers to ways respondents said they wanted messages to be conveyed. For example, with a Mennonite or theological framing, or through communal processes that break down some of the divisions that are apparent within both broader society and within the Mennonite Church Canada community with respect to environmental issues in general and climate change in particular. Not surprisingly, given how many people cited financial barriers, financial support, grants, and support in finding and applying for grants was also a high priority. I want to conclude by reflecting a bit on what we found and the value of this exercise. Having worked with the church on environmental issues for many years, some of the survey results were not particularly surprising. For instance, that there is diversity within the church on these issues with passionate people at both ends of the spectrum, but also a large group that is somewhere in the middle. Also, that there were many different types of creation care action reported, and the majority are very practical. Mennonites are a pragmatic people, and the focus on discipleship encourages tangible personal responses. I was a bit surprised, pleasantly, by the depth and breadth of the responses to foundational questions about scripture and theology. The survey showed a strong grasp of eco-theology pretty much across the community. We could also identify areas where there are gaps. There could be more integration of creation care into the worship life of many churches, which might help more of them gain a better understanding of sustainability as something that encompasses integrated systems of life, not just putting solar panels on the roof or washing reusable dishes. There are also opportunities to build teaching resources that are targeted to the particular culture and beliefs of this community. For example, by emphasizing simplicity, something that many still seem to resonate with, despite the fact that the community has largely become very wealthy in North America. Finally, the results underscore the value of working at these issues through church channels. Churches, at least within Mennonite Church Canada, are not turning to secular environmental organizations, but rather rely heavily on what they are provided from within their community. This survey is limited in its generalizability since it's focusing on this one community, but it did pull out a lot of nuance showing where there are gaps and fault lines and where there are opportunities in the community. And hopefully it will provide useful guidance to Mennonite Church Canada's Climate Action Coordinator and the regional working groups. So I would like to thank the rest of my team for helping me with this project and Sandy Plett for suggesting it in the first place. I thank you for your attention and I welcome your questions, and here are a couple of references. Well, the qualitative data shows us that there is, so that like the interpretation that we started coming up with, that it's this sort of division, that came from a couple of things. The fact that we can see the evidence of that sort of division within congregations across the survey data. But one thing that I did, which I didn't put into the presentation because it took too long, in the report that we gave back to the communities at the end, I sort of did a little description of what do the folks at either end of the spectrum look like, at the extreme ends, and what do they look like in the middle. And so I went through, as I was analyzing, each of the surveys had was assigned a number from SurveyMonkey, and so I was sort of just tracking, okay, who's really worked up on either end? And then I went through and just looked at each of them individually, and all of at the edges of the spectrum, at the one end, everyone says climate change is natural, and at the other end, everyone says climate change is caused by humans. It's in the middle where they're agreeing to both. So that, I think that's another thing that supports that interpretation. But I think there may be some people who might have been filling it out that way for the reasons that you're saying.
Well, I think I'll follow up to that. The bottom line, it says climate change is purely natural phenomenon.
So right.
Was that more the nature of the question?
That was, yeah, that the bottom line is the exact question. I shortened it to make it fit in bigger letters at the top, yeah. Yeah, so it said it's purely, so there's that question was trying to say there's no human influence.
Yeah. The survey stuff's interesting. I was just thinking, like, it's kind of aggravating when you know, the skeptics say that what would be, if you could form some survey questions, like for the extreme skeptics, what would it take to change your mind? Like around here, it'd be like a category, one category five hurricane hits the country each year, or two category five hurricanes hit the country. Would that change your mind? Go five category five hurricanes, or like maybe wildfires in Canada, you know, or one massive wildfire.
I don't know if people who are in that position currently would be able to answer that question, because I don't think they would know what it would take until that, like, I think at this point in time they would say nothing's going to change my mind, and they wouldn't know until the thing that changes their mind happens, unless they never change their mind. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like vaccine skeptics, you know, like 5% of the population was going to die from this disease, would you get the vaccine?
Right.
If 10% was going to die, would you take it?
Yeah.
At what point would you overcome your skepticism?
Yeah. I mean, just based on the vehemence of some of the responses, I would say they would have, if I had tried to ask a question, if we tried to ask a question like that, they would have said nothing. But that's like out of the 83, that's maybe like 5 to 7 surveys, right? This is a smaller group. No. And red and blue means the opposite in Canada. And there's also orange and green and light blue, just to complicate life. But so it's important to look at this graph because we actually got very, like, Eastern Canada has this is the response rate, like, by size, not overall. And Eastern Canada is by far the largest group, but we got the fewest responses from there. And that Alberta, which looks pretty big, is 7 responses, I think. So, because Alberta only has 11 or 12 churches. So it was, like, statistically, we actually didn't have enough, we didn't have big enough sample sizes to do that kind of analysis, and but from the amount that we could, we did not really find regional differences. And as I was looking for these, you know, at the different poles and in the middle, there were strong in favor of, like, strong committed to environment from pretty much everywhere. I think the majority of the very worked up on the other end of the spectrum were mostly from Manitoba, where there's a strong farming community. You'd expect them from Alberta, which is the oil province, but most of the Alberta churches are now city churches, so it's not actually surprising. So there's more of an urban-rural split than a regional split. And I'm kicking myself, we didn't ask, are you urban or rural? We could pick it out because they would self-identify. And I know the churches well enough to be like, oh, you're talking about that. Well, you're that church, so you're right. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say a little bit. I mean, certainly they were getting messaging from, so this Mennonite Creation Care Network that I've been a part of has been creating resources. There was the previous organization, both those were binational. So we didn't do this in Mennonite Church USA, but I would guess some of the things might be similar. I probably shouldn't guess because I don't know Mennonite Church USA well enough, but yeah, I think I would guess for a lot of faith communities, this message that resources need to come from the church body, and don't expect that people are going to be listening to Greenpeace or, you know, the Sierra Club or whatever, because that's not where people were going for their information. Yeah. The survey?
Yeah. Who had to design and develop a survey, the instrument itself that you use? What were your objectives going in? What are you going to do now with the results? And would you be willing to share the instrument?
Oh, yeah, sure. So we started by asking, because the survey was requested by people from Mennonite Church Canada, so then we started the process by asking Sandy, the climate action coordinator, to check with all the leaders of the working groups and a couple of other people, what do you want us, we're doing the survey, what do you want us to find out? And so that guided the building of the questions. The students are the ones who put it together. I was on sabbatical, so I was away while they were working on it and didn't have very much input into what was put into it. I'm not sure if it's, like, we got lots of good stuff from it. I think if I was doing it again, I'd probably tweak a number of things in the survey instrument. But yeah, and then your last question was what we're doing with it. So we have written a report. It's about 35, 40 pages that we've given back to Sandy that she's going to spread around. We're also hoping to turn it into a journal paper that can go to a journal called the Journal of Mennonite Studies out of the University of Winnipeg in Canada. And I'm hoping to also do some presentations. And I think Sandy was thinking maybe we should have a meeting with some of the leaders in Mennonite Church Canada, but also invite some Mennonite Church USA folks who are working on this stuff, that we could present the results to them and then have a conversation. So we're trying, because it was a community engaged research project, we're trying to like give the information back to the community in as many ways as possible.
And would you be willing to tweet and share the instrument?
Yeah, I'm sure. If come in, I'll give you my card and I can send it to you.
All right, we got a call time. Thank you so much. Thank you for speaking.